Okay, welcome. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Tuesday, the 3rd of November 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes, and you can also get it from Podomatic. Very limited now, but I think there's some still over there. That's podomatic.com, and you can go to our website, of course, which is crassfiles.com. crassfiles.com, always C-R-A-S-S, and all our podcasts go up there, with our new podcasts being displayed on the front page each week, so you can download them there and have a listen. We're also on Facebook under the Crass Files. Ton of stories also going up each week on our website, so check it out. And thanks to everyone out there, whoever you are, for listening each week and tuning in, checking out the website. Okay, we're ready to go, Dr. Rima. Today, for today's show.
All right.
We are plugged in, and Garth's not here again. He's got some things he's doing for the last couple of months, so hopefully he can get that done. But we are here, Dr. Rima, and we shall be joined by Ralph Fusitola soon. Hopefully, he's gone out for a coffee. But he'll plug in with us soon, and we're all ready to go. So why don't you and I start off the podcast today and get into it? I guess we've
I think that sounds like a great idea. There's a lot to get into, isn't there?
My God, there certainly is. You know, so much to get into, so much happening as well. And you know, I was thinking, because my wife's pregnant yesterday. You know, I was thinking, you know, when this happens, it gives you a whole other perspective on life, doesn't it? When your partner is got this this human being growing inside of them, you know, it's there's a whole other universe thing being developed in there. So it sort of does make you reassess things and look at life in a different light, you know. And I think we create our lives, don't we, in order to keep living and thrive and to learn and become better people, more connected and more aware, you know, physically and also spiritually, of course. And I think our bodies are a temple, Dr. Rima, and our bodies are like our lifelong partner, I think, and our vessel that takes us from birth into the unknown without any judgment or mistrust. And our bodies absorb all our life experiences and, you know, imprint them onto our palms, into our hearts. You know, and I think our bodies are so important and special that, you know, we must do whatever it takes to preserve them and our health freedoms, as you guys know. Nobody knows that more than you. And I think it's so important, I was thinking about yesterday, to preserve our health freedoms in this lifetime, to have the right to have the say what goes into our bodies, what we want and what we don't want. So that's why we keep doing these shows, to get this information out to people.
Not only is it important, it is, as we say at the Natural Solutions Foundation over and over again, health freedom is our first freedom, because without the right to control completely what happens to our bodies, we have no freedoms. There is a word for people whose bodies are controlled and therefore owned by other people. That word is slave, because if you cannot decide what may and may not, must and must not, should and must go into your body, then you are in fact someone else's property. The only exception being a child whose parents have the responsibility of the well-state. Now, by the way, let me point out that the government of Sweden has now said that children as young as 12 may make the decision to have transgender treatment, hormonal and surgical, to change their gender identities. So there are movements afoot to take away parental rights, even at the level of gender identity of the child, to say nothing of vaccination status of the child. This is all part of the United Nations child focus, which is to take the children away from the parents in terms of decision making and parental rights, which will be dissolved completely, in the same way that if the UN has its way and if the New World Order has its way and Agenda 2050 has its way, you will have no rights over your own body or your child's.
Yeah, and you know, we'll go into your great response that I posted on Facebook that's doing amazing. But, you know, some of these idiots out there, you know, and these trolls, we don't really deal with them anymore. But, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday as well. They're saying, well, it's not forced, you idiot. You know, nothing's forced. And I think what these people need to understand, and you've just seen what's happened again in Australia. They've changed the laws again for the no vax, no play, no pay thing. And they've changed the laws in Queensland, given the power to childcare centres to turn away unvaccinated children. And I have friends who have unvaccinated children, and they're so healthy, and the difference is like night and day. And so now they're able to turn away these kids who aren't allowed to go to these childcare centres, and next it's going to be schools. And so what they're doing is they're not coming into your house yet and holding you down on the living room floor and vaccinating you, but what they're doing is they're making life so hard that, you know, vaccines become unavoidable. And I met a couple that I know, they're from America originally, and their first girl wasn't vaccinated, but their new girl is. They got her some because she said it's just too hard now to avoid, and they need those payments. And this is what people need to understand. It becomes forced in that way. Because they're just making it unavoidable, and the people who simply choose not to vaccinate, they're pushing them into a corner, and it just gets smaller and smaller and smaller until they don't have any choices. And really, at the end of the day, they can start putting restrictions on homeschooling. They can tell you, hey, you can't come back into Australia from certain countries or any country unless you've had a flu shot, for example, or you need to get a flu shot for a driver's license. But they're not forcing you to do anything, but they're restricting your life choices. So it's going to be unavoidable at some point in your life. And that's forced.
Not quite.
I feel that's forced, you know.
everything that you're saying is absolutely accurate and true and terrifying, but there is an Achilles heel, a fatal weak point in the mandatory vaccination programs in all 126 countries that have signed and have ratified the Geneva Conventions, or as they're more formally known, the Geneva Accords. You see, people need to understand a couple of basic principles, and then they can apply their own decisions to the vaccine issue freely. The first thing they need to understand is that, although it may be a little surprising to consider if you're not a lawyer, the nature of international treaties is that they overtake, they change national law in the countries that sign the treaties. And once a country signs a treaty and ratifies it, like, for instance, the Geneva Accords, the law set forth in the Geneva Accord becomes the law of that country. Australia has taken the language of the Geneva Accords, which it's a signatory to, and has actually placed it in its constitution. The Constitution of Australia says that no one can be forced to give up informed consent, and that it shall be available to people without pressure, coercion, overreaching. And in Australia, as in the United States, as in every other Geneva Accord country, that's a total of 126 countries in the world, it is forbidden to force people to surrender a right, like a right to a basic education, to surrender a benefit, like a public education or the child payments or whatever, in exchange for their informed consent exercise. So if you say no to vaccination on the basis of informed consent, it is illegal and unconstitutional in Australia to take away a benefit from people. Now, what that means is that people have a legally protected right that they don't know about to say no to any medical treatment, experiment, or intervention, including vaccination, whatsoever. And they don't have to have a reason. It can be for good reason. It can be for poor reason. It can be because the little red men on Mars are telling people that they shouldn't have vaccines through the little tinfoil hats that they're wearing. It doesn't matter whether your reason is a good one or a bad one. You have the right to say no. And there's a very, very important proviso that people also need to know about, Adam, and that is that if you do not say no to a medical intervention, if you do not exercise and assert your right of informed consent, you are assumed to have given that right up, to have waived it. And therefore, having asserted it correctly is essential to being able to say no to the vaccines, make it stick, and not be punished by the government, not lose the $16,000 payment, not lose the right to an education, not lose the right to work, not lose the right to go on an airplane. All of these rights belong to you if and only if you assert your right to informed consent. Now, that raises the question of how you assert the right. And the answer is very simple. You do it through what has been tested in the courts again and again in country after country and has been found to be a robust principle. And that is through an advance health directive. It's the same thing as a do not resuscitate order. It's the same thing as an I am a diabetic card or I am allergic to penicillin card. And the healthcare provider or worker or agent of an organization and the organization that violates that advance healthcare directive is in fact guilty of things like malpractice, assault and battery, and in the case of informed consent, hang on to your hats, guilty of crimes against humanity. So, this is very, very important. How do you assert it? Well, the Natural Solutions Foundation, of which I am so proud to be the medical director, and by the way, our principal website is www.drrima.com, drrimatruthreports.com. When you go there, you'll see that you can click on a link or click on a button to get to an information page about the Advance Vaccine Directive. It's a wallet size or purse size or backpack size or diaper bag size card, specially laminated so that it can be signed, and obviously parents sign for their children, and we tell you how. And once that card is present, that card is a durable, robust, and legally binding, this is the important part, legally binding Advance Health Directive, which you have the right to assert and which you have the right to have honored. In fact, the healthcare professional or their agent has the responsibility to honor your Advance Healthcare Directive. This is, frankly, Adam, the spear in the Achilles heel of the vaccine mandates, which are designed to subdue us, to sicken us, and to kill us.
Ain't that the truth? And talking about your post, Dr. Rima, we might switch into that as well. Pretty incredible. On Facebook, it was something that you wrote out in regards to the changes in the law again in Queensland, and we've had now 227 shares on Facebook.
So cool.
And here you're talking
about
the heading was "Sorry, Queensland, you got the science and the law wrong." You talk about the measles Disneyland outbreak, tracing it back to recently vaccinated people. And the shedding of infectious organisms with these people, because for so many people who read the Rupert Murdoch media, they're being told that it's unvaccinated kids, of course, that are like little zombies and are spreading all sorts of diseases all over the place, when it's actually the other way around. But incredible post. I posted it because you reacted to that that law change in Queensland with the childcare centres, and you wrote this post, and you know, it's still going above 227 shares, and I've had over 50 friend requests in a few days, mostly ladies out there with families, and so absolutely wonderful. But I think today, because when I post this, we're going to have a whole bunch of new listeners, Dr. Rima. So I'd also like for you to tell our new listeners who will be joining us about the Natural Solutions Foundation, about yourself, how long you've been a doctor and what you practice, so they can get to know you a little bit. And also we can put the posts up here so they can go to the sites and have a look at all that. But for our new listeners, tell us a bit about that, Dr. Rima.
Delighted to. I'm a physician. I graduated from medical school in 1970. When I was in medical school, and I came into medical school not as a pre-med student, but as a literature major, so I was completely naive to a great deal of the propaganda that my classmates had already swallowed hook, line, and toxic sinker. But on my very first day of medical school, I was told by my professor of pharmacology that all drugs work by the same mechanism. They all poison enzymes. And I put up my little hand and I said, excuse me, there are 35,000 enzymatic reactions going on in every one of the 10 trillion cells in the body at any given moment. How can you say that you're helping people if you're poisoning the very stuff of life? I don't understand. And my professor, a very famous pharmacologist, looked down at me and he said, essentially, in a lot longer syllable words. He said, sit down and shut up if you want to be a doctor. And I said, you know what? To myself, of course. I said, I will not do this to people. I will not poison any part of them. So I will practice medicine without using drugs ever. And in 45 years plus of practicing medicine, that's exactly what I've done. Practicing medicine, I might add, and psychiatry without ever having written a prescription for a drug, ever. It's not necessary. And I have treated the most desperate, most terminal patients that you can possibly imagine, because that's who comes to a doctor like me. First, they try conventional drug medicine, and it doesn't work. Then they try somewhat so-called alternative medicine, and it doesn't work. And then they try a good doctor like me. And typically, it does work. So I've learned an awful lot about applying biochemistry to health restoration and promotion, that's called nutrition, about detoxification, about the use of frequency as a healing modality, and about a bunch of other really cool things. I know whereof I speak, Adam. I speak from 45 years of clinical experience. I'm trained in child and adolescent psychiatry. And let me tell you that the difference between an unvaccinated child and a vaccinated child is the difference between night and day. The new normal is autistic.
Yep.
Because the new normal is so badly poisoned with vaccines that there is no normal. It's like chemtrailing the brain, because we see clouds without ever seeing native, real clouds and weather. According to Dane Wigington, there is no real weather left on the planet. Now, in terms of vaccinated children, there is no real central nervous system uncontaminated in any child who has received vaccines. Does any vaccine have any utility on the planet? Not when you've got nanosilver, 10 parts per million, which is available on a website of ours, and which carries my name because we have found the best nanosilver in the world. There is no infectious organism that the body cannot repel, whether it's a virus or a parasite or a bacterium or a mycoplasma, if you have nanosilver supporting the immune system. And that's proven by over 1,000 laboratory studies. So what you need is nanosilver, a good diet, clean water, sanitation, hygiene, and you certainly, certainly want an unimpaired immune system. And that means when you see a syringe coming at you, run. Do not walk in the opposite direction. But to do that with the vaccination mandates, you must have a way to assert your informed consent right. And that, we believe, is best served by the wallet card available at drrematruthreports.com. It's there to save your life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And as I stated earlier, we are being sort of people maybe who aren't sure of their rights and just busy about going about their day, who just simply choose not to vaccinate themselves or their children. Maybe they've done a little bit of research themselves, or they just don't want to. They are being forced into that corner where it's getting tougher and tougher to get out of it, you know. And that's what they're doing. So to have a card, you know, I guess it's like it's almost like pulling out a cross to a vampire, Dr. Reba.
Exactly.
It's like the vampires are around you and you pull out that card and they back off into the darkness, you know?
That's exactly right. Oh, I'd better go find someone else to suck blood from. Oh, exactly.
You need to have something. And so that's what we're here today to push these cards, because it's the best idea I've seen so far. And, you know, for a little amount of money, it gives people, this defense, They don't even have to use their words so much. They can just use that, and that's legally has to be taken note of. As we said before, if you go into hospitals or doctor's offices, anywhere where you have a kid where they may vaccinate, or you know, if you're having a baby, whatever it may be, you don't know what they can do to you in there, so you have to assert your rights, but you have to tell them what you want and don't want. If you don't, then they'll just assume that you want what they're going to offer. So people forget to do that a lot as well. They need to make the doctors and this medical system work for them and tell them what to do. Don't let them stand over the top of you, and that card helps in that regard. But as you said in your post, by not letting unvaccinated children into daycare centres is actually protecting them from prolonged exposure to infectious children. Talk about this a little bit, Dr. Rima, because this still is a sticking point for a lot of people. Newly vaccinated kids and how they shed these infectious organisms.
At a minimum, people who are newly vaccinated shed organisms, especially viruses, when the vaccine is against a viral disease, but it's also true of mutated bacteria like pertussis. Pertussis has changed from a disease that affected late toddlers and early school-aged children and was not particularly dangerous or deadly, to a disease that affects infants. And it is more dangerous now than it ever was before, because the vaccine has changed the characteristic of the disease. Polio is a disease which is, according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, caused by the polio vaccine. And yet, the polio vaccination program goes tearing around the world, doing inestimable damage and killing large numbers of children. But these children are then infectious. There was a man just recently found in Great Britain who was vaccinated 30 years ago against polio. He has been the polio typhoid Mary of Britain. For the last 30 years, this man has been shedding live, infective polio virus. The outbreak in New York of measles and the outbreak in Disneyland of measles were caused by and traced back definitively to newly vaccinated people who had the bad judgment to go out into groups of people as if these people that they were in the mingling with were not going to get sick from their viral disease. They did indeed get very sick with a minor disease that they got a rash from and then they got better from, and acquired lifetime immunity in that way. Let me be very clear. Vaccines do not work, but getting these childhood diseases, if you have a basically healthy immune system, is not only a way to get lifelong immunity, it's a way to tune your immune system. People who have measles as children have a sharply decreased incidence of cancer when they're 30, 40, and 50 years old. Perhaps part of the reason that so many adults have cancer is because they were vaccinated against the diseases that we have learned to develop our immune systems from. And definitively, not perhaps, but definitively, the reason so many children have developed leukemia is that the FDA and the CDC have now admitted that they knew that over 300 million doses of polio vaccine, given to children after all, were contaminated with SV40, a virus that is transmitted from the kidney cells that the polio vaccine is grown in, and that virus is a leukemia-causing virus. Tremendous numbers of cancers, leukemia, and others around the world have been found to have this particular vaccine-borne strain of SV40 in them. They are caused by the SV40 that the FDA and CDC knew was contaminating the doses that about 200 million Americans received, and another 100 million people around the world received. Why didn't they force the manufacturer to filter it out? After all, it's a simple single-pass filtration. Adam, the reason was that it would have added less than 5 cents per dose to the cost of the vaccine, and the FDA and CDC, quote, did not want to add a financial burden to the manufacturer. Whoa! So they wanted to add financial profits to these same manufacturers who make chemotherapy drugs. They wanted to support the slash burn and poison industry of conventional cancer treatment because the profits are so enormous. But they did so at the cost of leukemia and cancers in how many hundred million people around the world. And this is okay with them. This is okay. Well, it's not okay with me, and it's not okay with you. And the fact that there's foreign DNA, including the SV40 virus DNA, but also the DNA of aborted fetal cells, the DNA of cancer cell lines, the DNA of insects, the DNA of chickens, the DNA of just God knows what in vaccines that they want to inject into me and to you and to our kids and so on, that's not okay with me. Thanks very, but I'd rather not have foreign DNA into my body with your needle. I refuse all vaccines. I'll trust my immune system and nanosilver, 10 parts per million. Totally non-toxic, absolutely effective, proven by 1,000 research papers. Your vaccines, toxic, deadly, proven by good science, and hidden by bought and paid for crooked crony capitalist science. I think not.
It's like the CDC. I mean, hundreds of people gathered there just recently, and they've even admitted, as you know, scientists have come out and admitted that so much data in regards to vaccines causing autism has been trashed and hidden from the public. So, you know, it astounds me that any of these people out there, any of these trolls, can stand up for this industry in any way, shape or form and have the audacity to come onto our pages and our sites and attack us for trying to warn people about what these drug companies are doing to the human race. It just defies belief. So I don't know who they are. I don't care. But anyone who protects our system, this evil, then you've sold your soul to the devil. And you're not part of a new change that's sweeping the world. You're not part of our positive new change. You're just a rat bag. All of you, you're just rat bags. So unbelievable. Absolutely. That people can protect such an ugly, horrible system that's doing this to children, that's doing this in utero, Dr. Rima, to pregnant women, you know, injecting them with all these flu shots and all these vaccines, poisoning us, you know. It's just incredible that anyone out there can still defend this whole World Health Organization, CDC and medical system and big Pfizer and Merck and all these big drug pharmaceutical corporations that don't give a absolute stuff about one human being on this planet. All they care about is profit. And you got all these idiots up there on social media standing up for them and protecting them and attacking us. And I never invited these half-witted pumpkin heads to come on my site or your site. You never invited them. They just think that they're welcome to make their stupid comments everywhere, you know. So they're just absolute toilet bugs. It defies belief in 2015 that these people are still like that. But anyway,
on your website, on your Facebook page today, the Kras Files, a brilliant brilliant Facebook page. And anybody out there who's not already following the Kras Files, you're really missing something wonderful. You have posted a picture of a pro-vax troll. Now, your graphics are already spectacular, but this, you absolutely have outdone yourself, because you have captured the reality of the pro-vaccine troll magnificently. And I reposted it and asked people to go to your page because it's so useful and your podcasts are so very, very informative. But I wanted to say a couple of things. You mentioned changing humanity. We are being re-engineered at the DNA level.
Yep.
Without our permission.
Yeah.
We are being created into something new. A couple of years ago, I identified a syndrome called genome, what was it? GDS, genome disruption syndrome. Yes.
Syndrome,
and you can get a free ebook if you go to www.gds-therapy.com, gds-therapy.com. And there, in that free ebook download, there is a questionnaire that you can take, which will tell you whether you are suffering from whatever problem, whether it's cancer or MS or diabetes or whatever, that is the result of your genome, your very DNA being tampered with. And it gives you some information about what you can do about it, because our DNA is the record of our past. It is the expression of our present, and it is the predictor of and the matrix upon which our future is built. Who are they to tamper with, to introduce genetically modified DNA into these deadly vaccines? Who are they to tamper with our genetic potential, indeed our very survival, as well as our fertility? Well, these people are so crazy, Adam, that 2 weeks ago, some lunatic PhD professor from New York University, Professor Liu, suggested that in order to solve the climate change issue, what we needed to do was re-engineer people by messing with their hormones when they were very young babies and making sure that they grew up as dwarves, because then they would use less shoe leather, they would wear out carpets less, their clothing would consume fewer resources. Or we could even better make sure that the only way people were conceived, as Aldous Huxley wanted it to be, the only way people were conceived was in vitro, and then we would suppress the genes that make people tall, and we would enhance the genes that make people short. Well, there are a couple of problems with this. One is that we used to believe 40, 50 years ago that one gene controlled one protein and did one thing. We now know that the complex interaction of genes, including what gene they sit next to, changes everything about genetic matrix expression, genetics, and epigenetics. And so if you alter one gene, you're changing quite literally everything, in the same way that altering the reflectivity of the Earth is changing everything in a system that is so complex that we essentially are not even yet in kindergarten. And yet that's what geoengineering is doing, and that's what the genetic engineering that we're all being subjected to in a grand experiment that none of us has signed up for is doing via the vaccines. Now, remember that the underlying goal, beyond the goal of generating vast vaccine profits, and the 400 new vaccines that are in the CDC pipeline are estimated by the pharmaceutical industry to generate for it an additional 100 billion, that's with a B, an additional 100 billion in profits over the next 10 years when all of these vaccines, all 400 of them, 398 to be exact, are mandated, because that's the plan. And that includes, of course, the 271 vaccines that are just ready to be approved, and that includes the behavioral vaccines among them that will make it impossible for you to say no, that will make it impossible for you to question, that will make it impossible for you to get angry. These are vaccine lobotomy tools to create a stunted, dwarfed, reduced, passive proletariat that cannot say no and that cannot think. And I will remind your listeners that one of the great architects of this program, in addition to Aldous Huxley, author of Brave New World, was Bertrand Russell, the Nobel Prize-winning PhD mathematician. In 1922, he said to the other Fabian socialists who were laying out our New World Order, it will be, what he said was, through indoctrination, injunction, and injection, it will be impossible for the ordinary man to have an independent thought. And that's what these vaccines are part of. It has to stop, and it has to stop with you holding up a card that says, I refuse all vaccines, and asserting the right that international law, national law, the Constitution of Australia, and a great many other legal constructs that are actually considerably stronger than the Queensland mandate or whatever, give you the right to do. But if you don't assert it, you're vaccinated. And if you're vaccinated, you're screwed.
Some of them seem to want everybody to be vaccinated, and they seem to love it themselves. So as we say, go ahead and do it. Have a bath of it. Go and bath yourself in the stuff for all I care.
The depopulation is the people who say we have way too many people on the planet. We have to get rid of a lot of them. What I say to them, and I've said it in writing, and I've said it directly to some of them, I've said, right on, you first. And you know, they always find a way to say, no, not me, I'm valuable, but yeah, Everybody else.
Just like the Monsanto guy that said Roundup was good enough to drink, but then when the guy offered it to him, he said, don't be ridiculous, I'm not drinking that.
So exactly, what do you think I am, crazy? And then the Monsanto employees in London, in the European headquarters, who said, look, if you continue to serve transgenic crap, GMOs, in our cafeteria, we're all quitting en masse. And now Monsanto's London, European headquarters, London office, is organic.
It's just, I don't know. There seems to be so many people against what we're doing, in a way, you know. I try to ignore them, but, you know, I can't understand why they want to suffer, why they want to protect the very system that wants to destroy them and their families and that is poisoning them with intent. Seems to be what they want to do in this life. Maybe they're just not ready. I don't know. But looking at autism, Dr. Rimmer, before we go back to the cards, I've mentioned this lots of times just in regards to Australia, from the mainstream papers, from Queensland, I think just from last year, they came out and said that the schools there, and I actually just saw another report just recently that I put up on our page about this, that the schools, the teachers, Dr. Rima, there are struggling to care for the skyrocketing amount of new children coming into the schools who are autistic, because as we know, the teachers aren't being trained. They're just teachers to teach a normal class, and they're pumping in these autistic children and they're being sent home. And the parents are agitated, so it's causing this huge nightmare for them. And I've read this before from Perth Now, from the newspapers over there, More than 3,000 students with autism enrolled in WA public schools. It says here that teachers are struggling to care for the skyrocketing number of students with autism while looking after 30 other children in their classrooms. So they're saying that is absolutely skyrocketed, the number of students attending public schools there. With this autism spectrum disorder, as they call it now, has more than doubled in the past 5 years just alone.
This is
2009 statistics. So the government are then telling us it's weird. The media are reporting on this to a degree, and then the government's lying and say no, the numbers are normal. We know the numbers are not normal. People keep attacking me because I look at the United States a lot and, well, this is Australia. It's not, you know, the United States. Why don't you go and live over there? So, you know, we're all in this together and we need to help each other. But looking at the United States with the amount of vaccines that children get, it gives us a good view of the autism rates, which I'd like to get your point on, because you know those exact autistic rates in the United States now, but I've never seen anything like this in Australia, where the mainstream media's actually had to admit skyrocketing numbers of children being autistic.
And what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
This is incredible. It really
is.
Yes, it is. It's astonishing. It's gobsmacking. It is frightening. It really is. I don't want to scare anyone, but it should terrify people. I mean, this is being pumped into people's minds through our media and press as well. They're normalizing it. They're normalizing it. Are these kids
are
normal?
That's what I was going to say. The next thing that's going to happen is that there will be no autism epidemic because it'll be normal. It will be defined as another kind of normal. Fiona O'Leary in Ireland is saying, well, I have two Asperger's children and I have Asperger's, and therefore there is no such thing as an autism disorder. It's just another way of being normal. Sesame Street introduced an autistic Muppet. It's just another way of being normal. That's like saying being paraplegic is just another way of being an athlete. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
It's not normal. Being diabetic is not just another way of metabolizing sugar. It's a disease. It's a disease caused by autoimmune processes, including vaccination, by the way. It is not normal to be autistic. It is not normal to be on the autism spectrum. It is abnormal, and most of the abnormality is caused by heavy metals and foreign protein, formaldehyde, and a whole witch's brew of other horror show poisons pumped into our bodies. And to say that it's normal is like saying Orwellian things such as war is peace, truth and lies are the same, depending on what the government says they are. This is insane, and it is up to each and every one of us, parents or not, to say, no, clouds do not come in long parallel strips that feather out at the edges. That is not normal. And no, children are not autistic normally. No, it is not normal. It is a poisoned planet with poisoned people and poisoned genetics, and we are being asked to pay for it, to allow it, and to watch our very future be destroyed by the depopulationist, pharmaceuticalist, globalist monsters. The easiest, quickest way to stop this, Adam, is to not accept vaccines and not fill prescriptions for drugs.
Oh, you're conspiracy theorists.
This is one of their deepest holds on us. And I can tell you, as a 45-year veteran of medical practice, that outside of an emergency room or a surgical suite, no drug is ever necessary. Treatment is necessary. Drugs are not. And if we still fill those prescriptions and say, thank you, doctor. And if we still roll up our sleeves and present our children's sleeves and say, thank you, doctor, then we are fools, and we are fools presiding over our own demise and that of our children.
It's incredible. And take a look at this, Dr. Emma, because I save everything, and you know, everything that's put out, I put into files, and I keep everything, and I have a lot of stuff that maybe people didn't see. I have a report here which I'll put up as well, from the Australian newspaper, from National Affairs, and the heading is Disorder in the Classroom on the Rise. So more children becoming branded autistic as schools scramble for funding. The nation, Australia, is in the grip of an epidemic of autism, with at least one state reporting an incidence as high as one child in 50.
That's the United States official statistic.
That's
at this
now
point.
In Australia, from our newspapers.
So, you're not the United States, you're Australia. No. The New World Order equalizes distress. The New World Order equalizes poverty and preventable diseases. The New World Order equalizes your slavery. And of course, the best slave is the slave who thinks he or she is free. Vaccines are part, if you will, of the enslavement agenda. And if you don't believe that, read Agenda 2030, which was announced while the Pope was in New York City on September 25th through 27th of this year. It is Agenda 21 on steroids. And if you thought Agenda 21 was bad, you won't be able to believe how bad Agenda 2030 is. Now, one of the things that is being brought forward are these public-private partnerships, which are unaccountable to anyone except their corporatist globalist masters. The public-private partnership called the Global Health Security Initiative, GHSI, has given itself the permission to vaccinate anyone for anything or against anything based on a very simple premise. We are facing, the premise goes, the onslaught of massive infectious disease epidemics because of travel and global warming and this and that and the other thing. And therefore, that means that there are two kinds of people. There are potential victims of the infectious diseases, and there are potential vectors who could spread the infectious diseases, and they could be one and the same person. So, and this is brought forward by Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the truly evil organization known as the United Nations. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's analysis is that the best way to prevent infectious disease epidemics and pandemics is to reduce the number of victims and the number of vectors. It's called depopulation. And so the Global Health Strategic Initiative has given itself the right to inoculate anybody, segregate anybody, remove anybody from their home, seize any property worldwide. And this hideous organization was created, you won't be surprised to know, by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the George Soros Open Foundation, the Club of Rome, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the World Health Organization, the United States, you know, the usual band of monsters. And they have just sort of written the justification language to make it okay. And they'll be coming at you with syringes and deportation vehicles. You can be sure, unless and until you hold out your vaccine card, your advance vaccine directive. Now, you may say, well, they're not going to stop for an advance vaccine directive. And the answer is, when the nurse, doctor, bus driver, etc., realizes that they will be personally liable for serious crimes, including crimes against humanity, They may or may not stop. The likelihood is that they will. Sometimes they won't. And then the legal standing will be tremendous. Because you see, these crazy people have a set of rules that they play by. And they are still playing by these legal rules. And there are still judges who care about the law, who care about justice. Is it a perfect system? No. Is there another one that's better? No, because there's no other system. This is the only spear in the Achilles heel of the vaccine mandates that exist. If somebody can come up with a better one, by all means, email me at dr.rima, that's dr.rima, at naturalsolutionsfoundation.com. Tell me, and I'll jump on board a better bandwagon. But until that one comes along, by God, you need this one. It's the Advanced Vaccine Directive, because these vaccines are deadly. Oh, let me mention one other thing. In 2013, the United States Department of Defense signed a contract individually with each manufacturer of vaccines deployed in the United States, requiring them to insert nanochips in their vaccines. That's not on the label. Do you really want that in your body? I don't.
No thanks. Leave it for the pro-vaxxers. They can have it. Give it all to them. And then put them in a big capsule and shoot them up to another planet somewhere. They can all inject each other up there and have a ball.
Huh? There you go.
Yeah, you can all run around stabbing each other with needles and live happily ever after. That's fine. One bit of confusion on the site we'll just clear up now, Dr. Rima, is one guy saying here in regards to the cards that I was wondering about this wallet card. They seem to be it seems to be more for America than Australia. So there's a few comments here that it's just for America, so they don't understand. No. Could you explain that, please?
I'm so glad that people are asking that question.
Yeah, there's a few comments on here. There's a bit of confusion. Yeah.
This is for anyone, citizen or not, who lives in any one of the 126 countries that are members of the Geneva Convention, that is to say, that have ratified the Geneva Accords. Australia, New Zealand, the US, Russia, Vietnam, China, pretty much every significant country on the planet. Canada, all the European countries, they're all signatories. And that means that the law, the overriding treaty law, that wipes out and replaces national or local law says that you have the right of informed consent. But in Australia, you have your Australian constitution using the same language saying that you have the constitutional right to informed consent. So you're protected twice, and this card then becomes twice as powerful.
There you have it. Hope that answers it for people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ralph has just become available. Do you want to bring him in for a few moments?
What we might do is just take a little break and then connect with him and then come back.
Sure. Okay. Let me connect with him.
Okay. Ready to go, Dr. Rima. We have Ralph with us. So continue with the show.
We were talking at the end of the previous segment about being re-engineered and about being controlled at every level. Not a good thing, of course, unless you happen to be the controllers and you want to get rid of the controlees, which we don't agree with. We, the potential controlees, are free men and women and have every reason to push back against these insane monsters. Well, while you were taking a little break and we were taking that, I was taking coffee. That break with you, coffee, of course, I called Ralph and I said, are you ready to come on to the Kras Files? And he said, look what I've found. And he sent a link over to me that is very interesting. The Wall Street Journal and ABC News and all the other major mainstream media have broken a story simultaneously showing that the death rates among white middle-aged people from 45 to 54 is skyrocketing. And they say the reasons are addiction, suicide, and liver disease. Now, that's very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. What this says is that the longevity gains in that privileged population, the white population, are being eroded, and these people are dying at a faster and faster rate. Why are they dying? Well, they're dying from things that, mark my words, we will be told need to be protected against. We need to be protected from suicide, from depression, and from alcoholism. And so drugs will be introduced into the water, lithium and antidepressants, and then the behavioral vaccines, which I mentioned in the earlier segment, and there are a great many of them in the 271 vaccines ready to go for permanent approval by the CDC. These vaccines will be mandated because we have to protect these 45 to 54-year-old men in the same way that we have to protect the uteruses of boys who don't have uteruses by giving them an infertility vaccine called the HPV vaccines, Gardasil and Cervarix. In the same way that we have to give young women, girls, these HPV vaccines, even though most cervical cancer is in aged women for whom this vaccine would be completely irrelevant, even if it worked. In other words, there'll be some sort of protect us from bad things, nonsense offered to us to take away yet another level of freedom and damage our DNA and re-engineer it yet again. This is a propaganda campaign beginning now that's going to ramp up, and the drumbeats are going to get louder and sharper and faster until people stupidly agree to drugs in their water and behavioral vaccines. Mark our words. Now, I said, you were the one who found it, Ralph, but I said right. An awful lot. You go now.
All right. Well, the first thing I noticed when I was reading this is the article on this study, and I found it in several places, and it's being widely reported over the past 6 hours on the Wall Street Journal, on ABC News, and elsewhere, was that they are blaming something very interesting. They're saying, and the U.S. death rate has been falling for decades, actually for centuries, but researchers have detected one group in which the rates have been steadily ticking up over the past decade or so, middle-aged white people. Suicides and death from drug overdose and alcohol abuse are being blamed. Now, that's really important. Death rates for other races have continued to fall, as they have for white 65 and older. But death rates for the 35 to 44 have been level, and death rates for the 45 to 54 have risen by 0.5% a year since 1998. 2008, so that's well over 10% now so far. The increase started in the late 1990s and is probably related to increased availability around that time of certain prescription painkillers, end quote. We are seeing, folks, the beginning of what General Burt has been warning about. You know, he wrote that ebook about the great culling has begun. And he said in that book, he said, you will begin to see statistics proving that the great culling has begun. We are now beginning to see statistics. These people are dying from vaccine toxins, from drug toxins, from alcoholism and related effects of the psychiatric drugs they're using. Dr. Rima, isn't it true that the type of drugs that apparently have become available since the late 1990s are precisely those drugs that lead people to murder and suicide?
Absolutely. The psychotropic medications are well known to cause suicide and homicide in thought and then in deed. Now, let me say something interesting about that. But first, why don't you tell people how to get that book that General Burt has authored, the e-book that you referred to. And then I would like to talk about why mass murders are being perpetrated by people 27 years on and younger who are male and white.
Also, Dr. Rima, just for Ralph as well, if Ralph could do a little bit of a quick bio, because Ralph, one of Dr. Rima's posts is going on 300 shares on Facebook, so it's gone.
Excellent.
It's the biggest push and effort that I've ever seen since I started this. And I had over 50 friend requests from mostly ladies, mostly in Australia, to join us. Good. And they love what you guys are doing. So we're going to have a lot of new listeners today out there after I post this. So just before you mix all that in, just quickly let us know about yourself. So catch some folks up a little bit.
All right, I'm a retired lawyer. I practiced for 36 years, practiced, and finally gave up. No, and I'm finally focused in over the past number of years on what's really important, which is being a counsel to and one of the trustees of Natural Solutions Foundation, the organization that Dr. Rima and General Burt founded in 2004. I'm also the president of the Institute for Health Research. That's www.inhere.org. We publish papers that the crony scientific journals don't publish. We know how private censorship is being used to prevent you from finding out information, and we're going to fight against that. So where do I come from? Where's my background? I grew up in New Jersey in a big Italian family, and I have lots of cousins and lots of connections to this part of the world. I was a youth for Goldwater in 1964, the first time I could vote for a United States president in 1968. I voted for the peace candidate, Richard Nixon. And I have never voted for a Republican or Democrat ever since. So I have been a maverick politically, and some would say a maverick in my law practice over those years. I handled a couple of interesting cases along the way. And certainly the Natural Solutions Foundation, as my primary client these days, has been a most interesting experience. Trying to keep up with General Burt and Dr. Rima is exciting.
I bet.
And I'm only 6,000 miles away from them, so that makes it easy. And that's really where we are. And we've been working very much focused in on finding legal ways around the attempts by the elite to do what they do. For example, there is something called Codex Alimentarius, the World Food Code, which is a system established by some UN agencies for controlling how food is traded internationally. And we were able to show, through a careful analysis of its own rules, how countries could stop adulterated and dangerous, such as GMO and other toxic foods from getting into their countries. And we did that by showing them how to exercise their own legal rights. We've continued doing that over the years. We push back against the efforts of the elite globalists to do what they're trying to do. And we find that when we push back, they retreat. We've done that repeatedly in the U.S. and elsewhere. For example, a year and a half ago, or gosh, by now it's almost 2 years, we were able to stop what was called the Monsanto Law, Ley Monsanto, in Chile. It is a certain seed control system, which is very friendly to companies like Monsanto and very unfriendly to organic and heritage seed savers. We were able to stop that by using the social media for the first time really successfully in Chile, and we did it with a lot of great help from our Chilean supporters. In the United States, we've done the same thing. We've generated on occasion millions of emails to our legislators and have gotten them to back off. In this recent round on the vaccine issue, the cronies have introduced bills in 35 United States states to try to restrict our rights to avoid unwanted vaccination. And they basically only succeeded in one, although the biggest one, California, where a law called SB 277 was adopted that for the first time excludes children from a school who are not vaccinated, even though there is no epidemic. This law was adopted by the crony corrupt legislature in the state of California, and it was signed into law by the former humane and liberal governor of California, Jerry Brown, who has now earned a new name. He is now Jerry Brownshirt, the neo-fascist governor of California. We used to, in his first time when he was governor, back in the 1970s, a long time ago, maybe it was the 80s, he was known as Governor Moonbeam. Now he's known as Governor Brownshirt. He's moved from being a liberal to being a fascist, which might not be that much of a move. But anyway, we believe that his law, the Jerry Brownshirt law, will no doubt be overturned by the courts because they have said over and over again that this presumed authority by government to protect the public schools from the unvaccinated only applies during an actual epidemic. We shall see. Of course, in Australia, things are in many ways much worse. In California, they want to condition the receipt of a public education on giving up a right, the right of informed consent. They have in their constitution. It says every child has a right to a free public education. It doesn't say unless you're not vaccinated. And so you cannot, under humane law, and certainly under American constitutional law, and one would assume the laws of many common law countries like Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, you cannot condition the receipt of a public benefit on the surrender of a right. In Australia, they want people to surrender their right of informed consent in order to receive the cash payments that the government gives virtually every parent for virtually every child. One might want to comment on if you allow your government to start giving you money like that, you might someday find out that there's a price tag attached to it, and that maybe, just maybe, it would have been better not to have the government give anybody anything.
Yeah.
But, of course, such questions are not raised in the modern world very often. So, okay, we've established that these attempts to condition the receipts of benefits on surrendering a right are horrendous tyrannical acts and in any just society would be overturned. Now, we also have the problem of what do you do in the meantime? And so that's why we've worked very hard on coming up with the informed consent advanced vaccine directive card. You know, a legislature such as the one in California may very well repeal a statutory exemption from vaccines, which is what they did. They repealed, there was an exemption that existed, and they repealed it. But they have no power to repeal the right of informed consent. You know, and religious exemptions and philosophical exemptions are just that. They are statutory exemptions subject to the whim of the legislature and the signature of the neo-fascist governor of whatever state it happens to be. However, informed consent has nothing to do with the power of any legislature. It has to do with international humanitarian law. It arises and has been an active and important part of basic human rights for at least 2,500 years, but most certainly in the present era, it arises from the horrendous experiences of World War II. You know, wars have consequences, and one of the consequences of World War II was that informed consent was enshrined not just in the Nuremberg Code, but also in various other enactments, such as the UN Convention on Informed Consent. There are statutes in various countries, such as the United States, that require informed consent for any medical experimentation. The law itself requires informed consent to any medical treatment. Indeed, in the United States, that has been the law clearly since a famous case in 1914. in which Judge Cordoza, I'm sorry, a famous New York State Appeals Court judge who later became a justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, held that a physician who engages in medical interventions without the consent, the informed consent of the patient, engages in assault and battery, malpractice, and is liable for damages if when sued. Very clear. The government may do what it wants with its statutory exemptions, but any doctor who holds the needle in hand is risking a malpractice lawsuit in which it's not a government agency that makes the decision, but rather it's a jury. Most doctors, I don't think, want to be in that position. So I don't know how much the doctors and the nurses will want to cooperate with the new mandatory vaccine rules once they understand that they're the ones who will be left, hanging in the wind. The bureaucrats will go their merry way, no doubt, after doing whatever evil it is that they are going to do. So we think that we have a very strong basis for people to say it doesn't matter what laws you pass. You know, the UN Convention on Informed Consent even says that. It says that, you know, the member states can adopt regulations to make informed consent operate in an orderly fashion, but they can't abolish informed consent. Now, the United States Congress just a few weeks ago took a major step forward in trying to abolish informed consent and thereby became aiders and abettors in a crime against humanity in what Politico, I believe, called a rare example of bipartisan cooperation. A bill was rushed through the U.S. House of Representatives with the very active support of the Republican leadership, something called the, and this is a joke, of course, the name of these bills are always meant to be funny. It was the 21st Century Cure Act. I will cure nothing except our lives, I guess. The Cure Act, besides giving $10 billion to Big Pharma, which is, by the way, just chump change for Big Pharma. What it really does is there's a little paragraph that was hidden in the law, and it says in that paragraph, once Big Pharma gets approval for one of its drug experiments, it no longer has to get written informed consent if the risks are minimal. Who decides the risks? Well, of course they do. Now, that's completely contrary to the entire concept of informed consent, which is that the person decides the risks. That's what the informed part about it is. So we have what does it mean? Well, it means they don't have to hire people to test their drugs on if they don't have to get their written informed consent. It means they can spray a new vaccine in a subway and see what happens, how many people drop dead, how quickly, whatever it may be. It means if this bill turns into a law, it means that, that there's a very good possibility that the death rate in America will go up even more. And maybe that's the goal. Well, we've been in touch with members of the United States Senate, unlike the English system, the system in, I believe, Australia as well, where the Senate only has an advisory or a delaying role. In the American system, the Senate is an absolutely equal member of the legislative body and has an absolute right to say yes or no to any law. We've contacted the very few senators who are known to be somewhat in favor of health freedom. And we are assured that that paragraph will be fought. Maybe we'll see another Rand Paul filibuster. Who knows? But I don't believe that that law will get passed because it is such an outrageous overreach on the part of the crony corporate Congress that once we expose it to the light of day, it will wither, and we're doing our best to expose that one to the light of day. So that's where we are at the present time. That's where I've come from over the years, and I am now a much more irascible curmudgeon than I ever was before. That's all.
Well, it's incredible, Ralph, isn't it? But
yes,
to catch you up, Dr. Reamer and I were discussing people keep saying to me on Facebook, well, what, you know, these cards, they're just for Americans. You know, the information you're putting out is just for Americans. It's worse in Australia. Some of them say to me, oh, well, you leave the American politics to them and the vaccine laws, and we'll deal with our own stuff here. It's worse here. It's getting worse here.
The whole point is that this is international law.
It's international. They don't understand. They think Australia's exempt, or they don't understand all of this, that we're all in this boat together, and we need to stick together on this. We need to look at America to see what's happening, because most of the stuff there passes here as well. But I did say to Dr. Emma, I spoke to a wonderful lady who lives here from America, and she's decided to vaccinate their second child because of the law changes here, because it's just easier. And I said that people are being put into this box, and they need help now, and it's becoming popular. You know?
Is it really easier to have an autistic
child?
That's
what I'm saying. That's
what they're playing, by the way. Autism is the new normal.
It is, and we just said that, Ralph, 1 in 50 now, according to our national newspapers in Australia, the highest rate of autism in Australia is the state of Queensland, and that's where the new No Jab, No Play laws have passed in regards to Queensland childcare centres being able to refuse perfectly healthy kids. It's utter discrimination, but they also have the highest rate of autism now in Australia, being 1 in 50, that our own government's hiding.
Are people allowed to opt out of the public education system in Australia? Can they homeschool?
Yeah, we discussed that a little bit before you came on. They can. I think a lot of people are going to start doing that. But as I was saying to Dr. Rima, just, you know, they can't force you to get vaccinated, but what they're doing is they're making life so hard that it's becoming inevitable that you're not going to face it at some point in your
life.
That's
called an unconstitutional condition.
And that's force, in my eyes, Ralph.
It is illegal everywhere.
Yeah.
It is illegal everywhere. And in Australia, in your own constitution and basic laws, constitutional laws, you have clear clauses about informed consent. Much, much clearer than they are in American law in some ways.
What does that mean, Ralph? What does that mean for people, for parents who are going to their local childcare center with a completely unhealthy, unvaccinated child, and they refuse to accept them with these laws? What happens there? What should people do in Australia?
Somebody needs to sue.
Start suing.
Someone needs to sue someone. That's the only thing you can do. You have to assert your rights, and then you have to sue to vindicate your rights.
Let me make a suggestion. The more people who have this card and who assert it, the more people will find that the authorities, the doctors, the nurses, the administrators of schools and so on, will back off. Some people are going to find that does not happen. And those are the people who are going to have to sue. But I guarantee you that if four people in Queensland carry this card and say something to their doctor or their nurse or whatever, the chances are very good that all four will be ignored. If 400,000 carry the card, the chances are very, very good that 300,997,000 people will be able to assert their rights, and a small number will not, and those are the people who will have to sue. But this is a mass action. It's like a strike. Strikes are very, very, very powerful if a lot of people strike, and they are completely meaningless if few people strike. But a lot of people permanently. That's where we are. People have to, the woman who's vaccinating her second child because it's just easier is, in my estimation, perhaps a wonderful person in many ways, but an inexcusably lax and negligent parent. It's like saying, well, it's just easier to feed my child rat poison for lunch on Wednesdays because there's so much pressure, so much peer pressure in the nursery school group to do it. Excuse me?
Right. You got it. And this is really the issue. People take responsibility for their own lives, or are they going to make themselves into neo-serfs in the neo-feudal world that the elite have planned for us? Pretty straightforward, really. It's no longer something you can say, oh, that's not going to happen for another generation. Oh no, it's happening now. Middle-aged white people in the United States are dying younger and younger.
Incredible.
This is a really important factor. Folks, the Soviet Union collapsed when it became obvious that Russian males, who were presumably in charge of that Soviet system, were dying younger and younger
ages. The reason they were dying younger and younger was alcohol. Now, 15% at that point, 15% of the gross national product of the Soviet Union came from alcohol sales. So they were selling alcohol and killing their own most productive citizens.
Right.
It is very much what we're doing. We're selling drugs and we're selling vaccines. We're also selling alcohol. But we're killing people with drugs and vaccines and then saying, oh my goodness, people are dying. They need more drugs and vaccines.
Right, and they need the vaccines to vaccinate them against the wrong emotions.
Exactly, like the ones that kill them. Let me point out that whether people acquire the vaccine, advanced vaccine directive card and assert their rights, or whether they don't, is an indirect measure of how much fluoride they're consuming.
Hey, that's an important point. Fluoride is a neurotoxin.
Yeah, of course.
And it does make people docile.
It does. Yeah, I noticed that. Plus, you mix that in with the TV, you know.
Yep.
It's a powerful combination. Very powerful indeed. And people who drink a lot of beer, don't forget that beer is made with fluoridated water. You know,
there you are,
and a lot of other products as well. So you don't know how much you're getting, and yeah, you know, you know. Plus, it's calcifying our pineal gland. You know,
absolutely,
our spiritual antenna. It's doing so much damage, and that's the thing I see, Ralph. Is people just, I don't know. It's almost like they've given up. They don't have that fight in them. They're just whatever, you know. As these laws come into effect, what are you exaggerating about? What's the problem? It seems they're just being indoctrinated to this slowly, that they just get to the point where they don't care about losing their health freedoms, which is the right to choose what goes in your body. That's crazy.
It's called apathy.
It is.
And let me point out that the masters of the Russian gulag system, who had very feisty, difficult political prisoners to contend with. And these political prisoners knew that they were going to die in the gulag system, and they were determined not to make anything easy. So they were unmanageable. The Soviets under Stalin figured out that if they put water in their fluoride, these impossibly difficult people became docile. Their attitudes switched from make me to whatever. And then the German high command, which was at that time allied with Stalin in Russia, sent their scientists to Russia, to the gulags, to learn how they were managing their difficult prisoners. They brought this system home and they fluoridated the water of the concentration camp and slave labor camp inmates to make them docile. Toward the end of the Second World War, the German populace began to get restive and they said, hey, you said we were going to win this sucker, hands down, really fast, no blood, all picnic. What happened? And the German high command said, maybe we better fluoridate the entire German population. So they did, and everybody settled right back down. At the end of the war, those same scientists, those monster scientists, were brought to the United States under Operation Paperclip, and they conducted two trials. One was in Kingston, New York, and the other was in Salt Lake City. Those trials were, in one case, 9 months, and in the other case, 1 year. And children, of course, this is a Nazi thing, right? Children were experimented upon, and matched controls were either given fluoridated water to drink or not given fluoridated water to drink. In both trials, the Kingston, New York, and the Salt Lake City trials, the children who received the fluoridated water had more cancer, especially osteosarcoma, a very, very dangerous form of bone cancer, in boys 11 years old and younger. They had more diabetes, which was previously absolutely unheard of in children, diabetes type 1. They had more tooth decay. They had more bone breaks. They had dental fluorosis. And they had a whole series of other endocrine and orthopedic problems. Well, those findings were published stating that the children who received the fluoride did better, although they actually did worse, by, in both cases, switching the headings on the data results. That is to say, yes, now about 6 or 7 years ago, oh, and on the basis of those two trials, only with children, and none of the children were pregnant, none of the children started out with cancer, none of the children were geriatric, etc. On the basis of those two trials, in a small number of children, the FDA couldn't wait to leap into the argument and say, let's fluoridate the water for everybody, pregnant women, babies, everybody. And so that became national policy in the United States. Well, about 7 years ago, an excellent organization in the United States called the Union of Concerned Scientists forced the FDA, after many years of agitation, to do this, finally to re-examine the original data. And the FDA said, well, son of a gun, look at that. The headings were switched, and the kids who did better had the non-fluoridated water, and the kids who got cancer and diabetes, they were the ones on the fluoridated water. Son of a gun, look at that. Well, shut my mouth. And then they said, but we still think that it's prudent to recommend that everybody be fluoridated nonetheless.
Right. So the agenda was never what the agenda was. It was always what it was.
Well, Harvard University Medical School did a study about 2 years ago, I would say, in which they showed that fluoride lowers the IQ by about 10 percentage, by about 10 points. Then last week, they came out with another study that says, well, looky dad, people who are fluoridated, especially children, have an increased level of diabetes. Looky dat. Oh, but we still think that it's really a good idea to make sure that your teeth are safe and healthy, even though, of course, people with fluoride also have more bone breaks and more tooth decay.
But the fluoride added to the drinking water is the same.
The real problem is they had nowhere else to dump the fluoride other than into people's bodies, because fluoride is such a toxin, it can't be disposed of.
Well, it can be disposed of, but it's quite expensive. It's cheaper to sell it to water companies. And then there's another cute little piece, and that is that people don't like murky, dark, dank-looking water. So water companies add, are you ready? Do you have your seatbelt on for this? Water companies add aluminum hydroxide, which gives water a sparkle, nice, a metallic sheen. Well,
more aluminum for us. Oh, wonderful.
Yes. It turns out that aluminum, a wildly toxic heavy metal, is synergistically toxic with fluoride. That is to say, when aluminum is present alone, or fluoride is present alone, each has a certain level of toxicity that it contributes to the human body. But when aluminum and fluoride are both present, as in some vaccines, by the way, when aluminum and fluoride are both present, they are 10,000 times more toxic together than either one separately.
Hang on, Dr. Oh, Renner, nice. Isn't fluoride added to the drinking water, isn't that like nature's most basic element that's in seawater and tea leaves and fish and rice?
Well, everything is found to some degree in nature. But when you add 4 parts per million to of fluoride to water, when you add God knows how much aluminum to water, what you're doing is poisoning enzyme systems throughout the entire body. You know, uranium is found in soil too, in tiny, 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 tiny amounts. And we have some capacity to deal with it. But we don't have the capacity to deal with as much uranium or other radioactive exposure as we get in the modern world from the leaking and the still present contamination from nuclear tests and so on, or Fukushima, God help us. And by the way, we have absolutely no ability to detoxify from the radiation of things like cesium-137, cesium-134, plutonium, none of which occur in nature, but only occur in reactors. So we can, and cesium does occur, but the radiation that we're being exposed to is something that we've never, never experienced in any period of our evolution, unless somebody was stupid enough or unlucky enough to wander into a uranium deposit and die before they could procreate.
But the fluoride that's coming into Australia in bags of this white powder and this hydrofluorosilicic acid, the actual fluorides that they're adding to the drinking water are not the same as the fluorides in natural spring water.
No, this is
because the Daily Telegraph and our friends Claire Harvey, they've got a new Bite Back campaign, Ralph. It's called Bite Back, and it's medievalist hippies ruining our kids' teeth. And the Daily Telegraph, along with Rupert Murdoch, want every drop of water in Australia fluoridated because all the councils are starting to take it out. And Mrs. Harvey claims that the fluoride that's being added to the water is the same that's in seawater and in natural spring water.
That's where that came from. Well, let me point out something. A molecule of fluoride is a molecule of fluoride. It's toxic, just the same as a molecule of arsenic is toxic, no matter where it came from. You can make it more toxic by putting it into hydrofluorosilic acid, which is an industrial byproduct and is very toxic indeed, as Ralph pointed out. But any fluoride is toxic. Any fluoride. It's like any cadmium. There is no place in the mammalian organism for mercury, for cadmium, for arsenic, for fluoride. They're not instantly lethal because we can detoxify a small, small amount of them. But you can make any of them more toxic, and hydrofluorosilic acid is significantly more toxic than the already toxic, naturally found, organically bound fluoride.
What protects your teeth, though, Dr. Rima, you know?
Well, it protects your teeth from healthy, yes.
What about, say, if you're getting, pure natural spring water, something like that, with the trace amounts of these fluorides and stuff in them? I mean, as you said, I think it's too small to really note. I mean, they're dumping so much in the water, but you don't know how much a single person drinks in a day, you know?
Well, a single molecule or an organically bound molecule of fluoride has toxicity at a certain level. You put it into hydrofluorosilic acid, which in itself is highly toxic, and then you add aluminum and chloride, chlorine, and drug residues and all the other horrible things that are in municipal water. And now you've got a toxic brew that is nothing like spring water. Nothing like spring water.
That's what I'm saying. In the Mrs. Harvey in the in the Telegraph are trying to make the people think that there is no difference. It's both one and the same thing, just like autism.
I have to disagree. You know? I have to disagree with you, Adam. You said Mrs. Harvey and the Daily Telegraph are trying to make people think, and whatever you said after that is canceled out. There, Mrs. Harvey and the Daily Telegraph are trying to make sure that people don't think.
Don't think, right?
Yeah.
About
it's,
anything.
It's just amazing how many people still buy it and buy into it. So we're still calling for our boycott, but I just can't believe how many people read this. It's not even vomit. It's just got so low and so bad. It's astonishing, but there's a groundswell in Australia, and I think people have absolutely woken up to this, and there's a big movement of people against this. And I think, Ralph, these ridiculous draconian laws that they've passed in Queensland to do with the childcare centres has made a lot of people very, very angry because Dr. Reema's response it went viral on our Facebook page.
That's really wonderful.
It's fantastic, but it shows how many people picked that up, what you said, Dr. Reema, about that. And so these ridiculous lies that the Murdoch press are putting out there, that unvaccinated kids are spreading disease and all this, hopefully people are waking up to this propaganda and utter nonsense.
I ask you a question?
Sure.
About this article, Claire Harvey says medievalist hippies are ruining your children's teeth.
Oh, God.
How do I get to be a medievalist hippie?
I don't know, because I'll tell you the thing, Dr. Reema, one of the trolls that attacked me, because we're bringing out the trolls now, Ralph, because we've had so many shares of Dr. Reema's post, they accused me of being a bludger and not working and that they have to pay for me. So what he did is this guy assumed immediately, because I choose not to vaccinate, that I'm a medievalist, toothless meth addict, and I live in the bush and I'm on the dole, and I'm a conspiracy theorist. And as soon as they do that, I know that they read the Murdoch papers, because I keep all the articles and I research them, so I know exactly where they're coming from. And then they get nasty and swear and they disappear. But that's what these people read, Dr. Reema. Right. So if you don't want to poison yourself with fluoride and vaccines, you're a medievalist hippie for some reason, and you're a meth addict, and you don't have any teeth, and you're on the dole on government benefits. So, you know.
Well, I'm not on the dole. I have very good teeth.
Yeah.
And I am all kinds of not these things, but I like the idea of being a medievalist hippie, because in the 60s and 70s, I was not a hippie. I was an anti-war protester. I was a social justice activist, but I was not a hippie. And I figure I missed a whole lot of fun. So I want to be a medievalist hippie as soon as I can figure out what that is.
Yep, stay away from the fluoride and the vaccines, and that's what you are. So it's astounding, but I think, as I said, people have to see how ridiculous and low they're going now, and they're just going lower and lower as they get more desperate. And as I said to you and Ralph, the next no jab marches being held in Sydney will be held out front of the Daily Telegraph office, Mr. Murdoch's office in Sydney. So it's growing and growing now, so very good. They're taking it to the people who caused all of this, which is the Murdoch papers, and of course Rupert Murdoch's up to his eyeballs with the vaccine manufacturers, and so is our new Prime Minister, who invests in vaccine makers, in these drug companies. So it's good for them. It's good business for them to keep bringing this into our country and poisoning our children.
You know, I have to tell you, I opened up the link on the medievalist hippie. I was hoping there would be an instruction book on how to be one, but there isn't. However, Ralph, don't you want to be a medievalist hippie?
Come on, Ralph.
I think it would be a good idea.
I'm sure you'd love it.
I just finished reading a book called Countercultures Through the Ages, or maybe it was The History of Countercultures. And yes, the troubadours were an example of a counterculture just like the hippies were.
Yes. Well, I'm looking at the photograph. It says Luke and Haley Stone from Chester Hill, who both have perfect teeth thanks to fluoride. First of all, that's not a sentence. And then it says picture Sam Rutin. Well, I'm looking at these two children. He looks like he's about 11 and she's about 13, and they're both smiling broadly, and they both have dental deformities. She, I'm speaking as a physician, she has receding gums and unevenly spaced teeth. She has poor dentition. He has chipped teeth and uneven teeth. Now, it's possible that his two front teeth are secondary teeth, and the others are baby teeth. But at age 11, he shouldn't have that many baby teeth. And the new front teeth that are growing in are mottled and are misshapen. Yes, they both have perfect teeth, thanks to fluoride.
Nice. Yes,
how could they be so stupid?
They are, and they buy it every day.
Where the kids
and they expect that people will notice. That people will not notice.
It's amazing, Ralph. It's amazing, and these are full page. These are full page stories in the Daily and Sunday Telegraph and the other Murdoch papers that people buy every day. They spend millions of dollars buying this stuff, and I cannot believe it. And they splash that, and people read it, and they believe it. You know, it's astounding to me. Astounding that people buy into this. It really is. But that's what we get every day in those papers here in Australia, you know. And it's time to flush this garbage back down the toilet. You know, it really
is.
You know,
I would love to make a comment to this.
They won't let you.
Because I'm banned by the Daily Telegraph.
They won't let anyone put any comment on there unless you're sucking up to them. That's how bad the Murdoch papers are in this country. And as we call them prostitutes. You know, and these people reporting this absolute propaganda and rubbish, you know.
Oh, this is wonderful. Can I read this? The Australian Dental Association agrees. So another health authority of note. Nobody except Pete Evans and his little pals says otherwise. The anti-fluoride lobby is the same as the anti-vaccinators. Well, yes, they're just like the cancer phonies who claim they can cure carcinoma with coffee enemas and rainbows. I myself, as a physician, have never used rainbows. However, I have used coffee enemas, and they're really quite effective for detoxifying people who have cancer, especially people who have been unfortunate enough to have had chemotherapy and radiation. It goes on to say, they don't like knowledge. Ooh, I thought I loved knowledge. And technology. I thought I loved technology. Because they're carefully cultivating pre-medieval levels of ignorance. I thought that these people were medieval hippies. Now they're pre-medieval hippies. But wait. Before the Middle Ages, knowledge was at a great peak. It was the church in the Middle Ages that suppressed the enormous amount of science, mathematics, and other knowledge that was blossoming. Okay, never mind that they got the history wrong. After all, it's the Daily Telegraph. They're not bound by reality. Then it goes on to say they idealize the Stone Age. Wait. I thought we were doing pre-medieval. Now we're Stone Age. Okay, because they aren't bright enough to realize that before modern science, are you ready? Do you have your seatbelts on, people? To realize that before modern science and medicine came along, everybody died at 32 with a mouthful of poison.
Seriously?
that's just the start of it.
What? What does that mean? This is like
the lifespan had been 33 years in ancient Rome, but that was only because there were a lot of people who died very young.
Yeah, but what does it mean with a mouthful of poison? They had dental amalgams? What? What does this mean? I'm sorry.
Their teeth were rotting. Their teeth were rotting. I thought that ancient skulls usually have really nice teeth.
They do?
Because they didn't have sugar.
They do. That is correct. They had excellent dentition. Okay, everybody. And you remember Weston Price, the dentist who went around the world looking at people who ate pre-Western diets.
Yeah.
And they had beautiful teeth and excellent jaw development. And when their children had been eating the Western diet for just one generation, they did not have good dentition, and their teeth were rotten, and their jaws didn't develop properly. Their palates were misshapen. So I see, I have this problem.
Big lie. The bigger the lie, the more people believe it.
Yeah. Well, it's not even a good lie. They're just pathetic, you know?
Doesn't the lie have to make sense?
Well, they don't need to. They don't need to, Dr. Rima. They just put it in there. They put some sports and weather and some gossip, and the mob swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. They don't even,
you know,
they're not seeing what they're reading. They just see the headline, and then they sort of look over it, and then that forms their opinion.
This has a great similarity to me to those things that I've had the misfortune to hear when I've been in a hotel room. I don't have a TV, by the way. When I've been in a hotel room and I've turned on the TV to see what was going on locally, and I happen to hear a sports commentator or a sports player talking, it has this same lack of rational cohesion. It doesn't mean anything.
I just sent you another one too, Dr. Emma. Ralph will see it. Claire Harvey, don't duck the law by sending kids to quacks. And then she says here, quack, quack, quack. And she basically says, naturopaths are quacks, chiropractors, Chinese herbalists, iridologists, palm readers, homeopaths, Bowen therapists, Reiki practitioners, you know, acupuncturists, everything. You're all quacks and it's all voodoo science. If you don't get vaccines, you're an idiot. That's what she's saying. It defies belief.
This is amazing. You know, this woman is really ill.
She's sick. She's sick. She's
well,
sick in the head. Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, they shouldn't be allowed to print this, but they do. You know, and the woman that they're charging here, she wasn't even a naturopath. She wasn't even a naturopath. She was someone working out of the system. She shouldn't have been done it. So, and the thing is that the Telegraph actually have a naturopath writer that writes some of their articles for their so-called health section in their Sunday papers. But they're demonizing naturopaths and even Chinese herbal medicine. I mean, how long's that been around, Dr. Rima?
About a week.
Claire Harvey knows about you know, homeopathic medicine and Chinese and medicine and, you know, acupuncture and all this. I mean, this is what they're getting away with in Australia. And this is what the population are swallowing, the Murdoch media filth. And it's just getting worse and worse as they get more desperate. So, you know, we have to wake up to this. And that's why we're calling on a worldwide and Australia-wide boycott. And also a boycott of Rupert Murdoch's Foxtel TV. Because he's sinking as well, and he's trying to get his claws into anyone he can. So we're calling on people to ring up Foxtel and cancel. Do not buy these newspapers. Do not give them. They're $2 a day. Add that up over a year. You know, so we're trying to get people to stop buying these papers, their parents, grandparents, friends, workmates, anyone they can, because they're supporting this nonsense, Dr. Emma, that's really quite sickening. You know, you laugh at it as well, but it's really sad. And I think this woman's ill in the head. I think she's unstable. And, you know, you can't call this woman a columnist or a writer in any way. She's an absolute psychopath that's allowed to splash this ridiculous propaganda over national newspapers. So all these people are whack jobs, as far as I'm concerned, and the Australian people have got to stop buying into it. It's nonsense.
You know, I just read this article.
It's unbelievable.
I am rarely speechless, but I'm close.
Yeah, well, that comes out every day.
You know? She's completely unrestrained by reality.
Well,
she is.
That's the best propaganda. Is exactly that. It's stuff that comes out, you know, out of the id, if you will.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, it's the most outrageous stuff.
It's amazing.
You know,
it's incredible.
That's all.
Yeah. No.
It really is. It really is. Now, the cure for this is the same as the cure for being over-medicated. Don't fill the prescription. The cure for this is don't buy the rag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not even good for toilet paper, Dr. Rima, Rupert Murdoch's
No, the ink is toxic.
That's what I'm saying. It's just so bad. But anyway, all we can do is talk about it and get it out there. But this is what we're getting in this country. And sadly enough, I hate to say it, the people are buying into this. And they're still buying into the whole Rupert Murdoch, Claire Harvey spin that unvaccinated kids are going to infect their kids. That's what one of the trolls told me just yesterday on my page. Just keep your stinking kids away from my family. You know, and so I say, well, you know, I know what he's been reading, but they get nasty about it. They really do believe this, that, you know, an unvaccinated child is a threat to their family because they've been told to think that.
But that means vaccines don't work, I guess, right?
It's like if your kids are vaccinated, what do you have to worry about?
If they work.
But I don't know what they're worried about. It's astonishing. Anyway, that's the way it is, unfortunately. In 2015, it blows my mind. This is still
I believe firmly, down to the tips of my unvaccinated toes, which may explain why I believe it, that truth rings like a bell, no matter how loud the lies are shouted. And so it is our job to keep putting out the truth in various forms, because people hear things and understand them and see them in different ways, with a core that doesn't change, but methods of getting the message out that does change. Radio, podcasts, videos,
yep.
Articles, scientific articles, lighter articles. These are all ways of saying the same thing that different people will hear at different times in their readiness and will be able to pass on to others. This is, as General Burt has said, the defining issue of the 21st century, informed consent. Now, let me tell people one more time how to get the very, very important card that asserts your vaccine refusal and informed consent rights. You go to www.drrima truthreports.com, and this is for you in Australia and New Zealand and South Africa and England and France and Russia and Canada. This is an international strategy because it's based on international law.
Important,
that
yeah.
Controls your country, whether you like it or not.
Exactly. As I said earlier, wars have consequences, and all 127 countries that have signed on to the Geneva Conventions, and that includes Britain, Canada, United States, New Zealand, Australia, are bound by those conventions. And the Nuremberg Code, as an expression of what the law always has been, which is what the Nuremberg Code was intended to be, applies to those countries. It applied to the Nazi doctors. It applies to the countries that defeated the Nazis under the terms of the Geneva Conventions. So it's international law, and it is not subject to legislative change.
That's right, Ralph. And just to quickly catch you up from before, just in regards to Dr. Rima's post, sorry, Queensland, you got the science and the law wrong. This was with the childcare centres. That's the post going on. We should get up to 300 shares soon. And I'm getting, two, three pings coming through a minute every couple of minutes with new people sharing it and 35 sharing it and 50 sharing it. It's just continuing to go all over the internet, Dr. Emma, because of what you wrote here. But some of the comments there, Ralph, were saying, well, this is just for Americans, this card. So Dr. Emma explained that before. No. We are part of that. We're not separate. We're the same. And so people need to know these cards are for Australians, for New Zealanders, they're for us as well. So we need to really push that as well, Ralph, so people need to understand they can buy their cards, even though you guys are shipping them to Australia for people. It's completely legal here, just like it is in the US.
Right.
Absolutely. And give them the code that they can use to let us know that it came through you, Adam.
Yeah, I haven't been doing that, actually, but that's okay. That's okay. I just want the information out. That's all right. I forgot.
Well, but we want to see you support. We want to see your work supported. We want to make sure that that you can stay on the air. Folks, freedom is not free. Defending your rights requires resources. And unless you are personally willing to commit resources to defending your rights, you may expect not to have those rights. You must assert your rights in order to retain them, and you must use resources to assert them, because the other side is using massive amounts of resources to get whatever it wants.
You got that right. Yeah, newspapers, the TV, they're so glossy, so powerful, that they use every night with people watching that, and picking up those Murdoch papers. It's very powerful for people who are going to buy into it. So you're dead right there, Ralph. It's very important for people, as we're just saying before, Ralph, before you came on as well. If you don't assert your right, whether it's a hospital or you have an accident, it could be anything with your kid, they'll just assert it for you. So it's important people do that.
Right. You will be deemed to have waived.
Exactly. If you don't say anything, that's what they think, and they'll do it for you.
You got it.
Anyways,
that's what people don't understand. That's what they don't understand. They don't realize the power they have, but it's a power that can only be exercised. It cannot be ignored. If you ignore the power you have over your own life, you will not have any power over your own life.
Very well said, Ralph. Very, very well said. Thank you. Adam,
and thanks,
it's
Adam,
always
for giving us time to talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great show today. Great show. And
such
my number, Dr. Emer, is 1100/BF. If people want to get those cards in Australia, put that number in and it shows these guys where it came from. So 1100/BF. And also in the circles, Dr. Emer, just with all the comments, I can't go through all of them in regards to your post, but people are discussing the cards. So that's good. Lots and lots of people are discussing those cards. Are you going to get your card? We should get this card. So we'll keep pushing this. And
excellent.
We've come further than we have before now. So, we just need to keep pushing through. But people need to get them. It's a great solution and a cheap solution. And it supports you guys, us, and gets people these beautiful cards to assert their rights.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. We're really very pleased to be able to share this information with you and with your listeners.
Thanks so much. And thanks so much, Ralph, for plugging in. And we'll do this again very, very soon.
Blessings to you all.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Doc. Good night.
Okay, thank you. Please share this to everybody. You know it's very important information, and you must understand as well that I don't get anything for this, and Dr. Rima and Ralph have given us so much time and so much incredible information and hundreds of hours of documents to read through for absolutely nothing. They don't get anything from this, and they continually just keep trying to help get this information out to people. Dr. Rima never asked for anything. And the amount of information she's fed to me to give to our listeners, the amount of help from Ralph and the Natural Solutions Foundation has been absolutely astonishing. And they continue to do so. So thanks, everybody out there, for listening. And we'll be back again soon.